Back to Ephesians chapter 2. Back to Ephesians chapter 2. If you look at verse 14, it talks about, in this translation, the RSV, it talks about the dividing wall of hostility. If you read the Authorized Version, it talks about the middle wall of partition. And if you read the Welsh Bible, it talks about a canolvir o eluniaeth oedd yn a gwahanu, the middle wall of partition. Now, if you cast your minds back to September 2023, you will perhaps remember a rather sad and shocking event which was reported on the news, that two men with a kind of warped mind went up to Hadrian's Wall, to what is called Sycamore Gap, and chopped down the tree, and it fell and it damaged the wall. Now, those two men, of course, have subsequently been found guilty of doing that. That gap, Sycamore Gap, was famous and well-loved and beautiful. It was in a film, at least one film, and I think more than one. And it was a romantic place. People used to go there and propose, "Will you marry me?" And it was well-loved and beautiful. And I went there with my wife in September 2022. And it was lovely weather and we had a beautiful walk. It's a marvellous place for views. Very, very wonderful. We had a lovely walk. And that was on our way back from a holiday in Alnwick. And we stopped a night or two in that area as well to break the journey. I also went there in May 2004, not necessarily to Sycamore Gap, but to Hadrian's Wall, a glorious heat wave, and again, wonderful views. So what was Hadrian's Wall, and why am I linking it with this verse that talks about the middle wall of partition? Well, when you want to know something, you go on Google, and Google seems to know everything. So this is what Google told me, that when the emperor, the Roman emperor, Hadrian, visited Britain in 122 AD, he recognised the difficulties in establishing control in Caledonia. In other words, Scotland, as we call it now, a wild and ungovernable place it was in those days. And he thought, well, there's no way we're going to be able to conquer and subdue and rule those people. It's just beyond the power of our army and our administration. The emperor therefore ordered the construction of a great defensive wall, which would mark the northern limits of his empire and consolidate the hold on those parts of Britain already subdued. Hadrian's empire would not include Caledonia. So, if you lived north of Hadrian's Wall, you didn't have the protection of Roman law and Roman administration and whatever system they had for money and every other kind of civilization that you were part of if you lived to the south of the wall. You were beyond all of that if you were in the north, and you enjoyed all of that protection and civilization if you were to the south, and the protection, of course, of the Roman army from any invading marauders. Its construction would separate the Romans from the barbarians. Now, listen to a bit of a description about this amazing wall, this middle wall of partition. The defences were supplemented by mile castles which housed garrisons of up to 60 men. These were built at intervals of one Roman mile Between each of these stood two smaller defensive towers called turrets, which held small garrisons of four men. Most important of the military garrisons along the wall were, of course, the great forts, of which there were 16, each housing between 500 and 1,000 men. The mighty wall ran across the whole of Britain, 15 feet high, with 6-foot battlements on top of that. Talk about a middle wall of partition, or as the RSV puts it, the dividing wall of hostility. Now, it tells us, if you read a bit more of verse 14, that Jesus is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility. So who are the two that were divided, that have now, if they're in Christ, been made one? Well, it tells us there in verse 11. Remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So those who were not Jews, not the descendants of Abraham, and not converts to Judaism who'd been circumcised and added, they were separated from Christ and alienated from the Commonwealth of Israel, just as people north of Hadrian's Wall were separated from what we might call the Commonwealth of the Roman Empire, with all the benefits of its civilization. No wonder it's called a middle wall of partition, both of them. So what is the heart of this covenant which you Welsh and we English were separated from? What was the heart of that? What did we lack? Well, if you go to Leviticus 26, you'll find it put very succinctly in verse 12. I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. That is the benefit that the Jews had before Christ came. God had said to them, I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. What if people gathered together, Welsh people and English people in this country, but God didn't walk among us because we were separated? What a doleful and pointless thing it would be. And that phrase, I will be your God and you shall be my people, comes again and again in the Old Testament. I'm not going to read them to you, but I'll just tell you the references so that you'll know I have really looked it up. Jeremiah 7:23, Jeremiah 11:4, Jeremiah 24:7, Ezekiel 14:11, and Zechariah 8, verse 8. Zechariah turns it the other way around, and instead of saying, I will be your God and you shall be my people, Zechariah says, they shall be my people and I will be their God. But it's the same concept. And all of those verses, with slight variations on the words, say the same thing. I will be your God, you shall be my people. But before Christ came, you Gentiles, you English, you Welsh, were separated from Christ, alienated from the Commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise. It says that we had no hope and we were without God in the world. I don't know if you have special places for prayer, but I have had special places for prayer. I don't go to them for prayer very often, because if I did, they wouldn't be special, would they? But one of my special places has the name Hrosabeddai, which of course, as you know, means the moorland of the graves. So there are presumably quite a number of prehistoric graves there, Hrosabeddai. And if you go to across the Bedi. In order to get there, you park in the lay-by close to the waterfall at Llanrider a Mochnant, and you go up above the waterfall and you walk up into the Berwyns, and there you find Rhos y Beddau. And there's a stone circle, and very unusually, it has a stone row, a little avenue like they have at Avebury, only it's much smaller. And that says to me that more than 3,000 years ago, people who are described in this verse were going there and wanting to find the supernatural, wanting to find the spiritual realm, wanting to find some kind of contact with a greater being or greater beings. But they didn't have the promises, they didn't have the covenant, they didn't know the God that the Jews knew. I go there for prayer because I think, well, if people have sought God there for 3,500 years, it makes it feel special, and you're surrounded with the beauty of the mountains, and there's not a soul in sight most of the time, and it's very lovely. But at that time, it says, you were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise. What was it then that was missing for those people at Rhos y Beddau? What was it that was missing for us English and you Welsh before Christ came? Well, there's a lovely little list in Romans 9. To them, that's the Jews, the Israelites, to them belong the sonship, be the sons, daughters of the living God through faith. To them belong the sonship, it says. To them belong the glory. God manifested himself in their temple. He manifested himself at the burning bush to Moses. There were one or two occasions when his glory so filled the temple the priests couldn't even minister. It was so special and so real. The sonship, the glory, the covenant. We looked at the heart of the covenant. I will be your God. I will walk among them. The covenants. The giving of the law, telling people good moral standards that society and individuals could live by. The worship, it says. They could go to the temple and know that that was a place where God had said, my name will dwell there, I will meet with you. And they could go to the temple and feel that that was a place where heaven and earth met, and they could meet God there. Now, I believe I've met God now at Rhos y Beddau and many other places. But then it was the temple that they went to, and the Jews had it. And the promises of the Messiah especially, the promises of the new heaven and the new earth, the promises of the messianic banquet when Jesus comes back and all the redeemed are gathered together. Isaiah talks about that. That's not only in the New Testament. Isaiah promises it. To them belong the patriarchs, Abraham, Jacob, all that family. And it says, according to the flesh, the Christ, because he was also. And all of that, we said, we were alienated from. But now go back to what Jesus has done in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now, in Christ, and now means, of course, when Paul was writing, something like 2,000 years ago, and it applies today in Rhos, but now, in Christ Jesus, you, who once were far off, have been brought near in the blood of Christ. Christ's blood was shed for you, for each one of you. All the sins that you have committed were paid for at Calvary, and you do not need to feel distant from God, because you've been brought near. That's what he says, brought near in the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made us both one. We've been grafted in to that people of God, and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility, so making peace. That's verse 15. And then verse 16. And might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross. Not only reconciled racially with the Jews, the Welsh and the English. I was at a prayer meeting in St. Roos, And we were praying for the land of Albania. And some people were praying in Welsh. And some people were praying in English, because they did what was natural for them. And I thought, 1,500 years ago, we would have been trying to slaughter each other. Now we're praying together. Praise God for that. And that's what it says. We have been reconciled to one another and to God through the cross. Because we've been reconciled to God as well, he's prepared to be our Father because Jesus died for us. He came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. You come to God through the Holy Spirit because Christ has paved the way for you by shedding his blood on our behalf. We have access. That's why I can go to Rosa Bethai or to my bedroom or to my study or wherever and pray. I have access to God because I don't have to be in a special place. I have access to God, it says here, by the Spirit. Access in one Spirit to the Father. And so do you. So do you. So what is the final result of all this? Verse 19. You are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. And then it says in verse 22, in whom you are also built into it for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Like he said, I will move among them. A dwelling place of God. Your body, the temple of the Holy Spirit, the church gathered together is the place of God's Spirit. You don't need to feel distant from God through faith in Christ. There's one more verse I'm going to share with you. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 16. New Testament. And here's what it says. I will be their God and they shall be my people. And that's true for all of us who believe in Christ. Amen.